Drill 5 Radio through an internet blast. On your digital plats, international podcast. Sit down with a tall glass, take it from brass. You can learn a little something, have a good laugh. Now if you're late to this party, don't forget, they got episodes on deck for you to check. The archive deep, lit like car lights beat. You ain't seen this much exposure since Cardi B. Hey, plugging the scene like plumbers on pipe leaks. Running their numbers up, shows drop weekly. Guests from everywhere, but they still rep home team. 305, not just a name, they promote team. So relax, put your feet up, smoke some of your re-up. Enjoy the show with the exclusive meetup. Yeah. Dade County, know the style. It's Struck and Dre Mav on your radio dial.
On Dre 05 Radio.
They on that.
Dre 05 Radio.
Struck and Dre Mav on your radio dial.
And welcome back to 305 Radio. My name is Struck.
And I'm Dre Mav.
And we're here with season 3, episode 2, with our special guest for the day, Scam 2.
Question mark.
Question mark.
Yes.
What's good, Scam?
Son, let's go. I'm delirious. I've been in the car all day. Let's go.
Bro. What's the number 2 in the question mark in your name stand?
There's two of him.
Yes. That's a new explanation I'm going to give. I'm gonna have like a little one of those Joker explanations. It's gonna be different every time.
Which one are you gonna go with today, though?
I used to spell it differently. I was young. We got harassed by the cop. I felt violated, so I changed it.
Damn.
I used to spell it with a C, and I changed it with a K and 2. And I don't even know why. Question mark. I had this character. It's okay. Like a little question mark character. So it was like, but now it's you know what I mean. I feel like maybe now it's like kind of on this, the mummy dude, that's the other scam.
Well, see, so there's two scams. There you go.
Yeah.
That was right.
Like he says the other shit.
Now we know.
This scam, I talk like the philosophical.
You would be scam one?
Nah.
Is this the real scam?
The two is silent. Yo, bro, I get introduced everywhere. Even in Europe, they'd be like, we have legendary Scam 2. And I'd be like, the two is silent. It's just scam.
You're not supposed to say.
It's just scam. Or if you want, you'd be like,
scam. Do you clear that up when you get on stage and stuff, or you just let it ride?
Bro, I don't even. I'd spend all day doing that shit. I'd just be like, Scam 2? I was like, you gotta say it right. You gotta pronounce the question mark.
Scam dos?
Scam dos?
Escam dos?
Escam dos? You gotta put the bass. Goal!
Escam dos. No, I don't think I can do it.
But yeah, that's it. I haven't been asked that in a little while. Interesting.
You just decided to just do it. It doesn't really have any specific meaning, nothing.
Never really had a meaning.
It's just scam.
I was ahead of the curve on SEO. You know what I mean? I was ahead of the curve. People be like, yo, I seen the scam. I said, did it have a 2 and a question mark? Mm-hmm. Then it wasn't me.
Boom.
Simple as that. I saw a scam too. I was like, no question mark?
It wasn't me.
It's not the real thing. It's imposters.
You know what I mean? Like, you put that question mark in, there's no. The irony, you put the question mark in a search, and then there's no question. Boom. You know what I'm saying?
Your brain has been fried today by scam.
I'll be here all week. Hell yeah.
But I mean.
Will you be here all week?
Yeah, I'm here for a couple weeks. Yeah, you're funny. I'll be here all week.
So you're in town for Crazy Hood Day.
Crazy Hood Day, yeah.
Right?
Hey. That's like, I gave up on performing in the States for a while. I was just like, yo, fuck this shit. It's just corny.
Why?
Because I grew up in Miami, bro. Every show, every show, I promise you, I'll fucking be rapping my ass off, whatever the fuck, hopping up and down like a mad leprechaun, and the song goes off, crickets. Next song, crickets. Fucking end of my set. I'm like, these motherfuckers. Then I'll walk out in the crowd and people be like, yo, you kill that shit. And I'm like,
So which cricket it's the Miami crowd, like, you
which
think?
Which cricket were you?
Like, you, you not even, like, nothing, not even, like, you could have just did jazz hands, bro. Like, they don't do shit, nothing. Bro. They just stand there, they be on their phone, they be looking like.
You could appreciate jazz hands?
I could, because that takes energy. That's a conscious effort to do jazz hands at a show. You know what I'm saying? You could do the poet snaps, but the, you know what I mean? Like, something, but.
So overseas, it's a different vibe?
Well, you know what? What I had to learn is I had to really, like, kind of dial it back and be like, I think sometimes, you know, it's like the conversation where people are like, yo, there's no good music out right now. I'm like, you don't even know what's out.
Yeah, there's a lot of
like,
good
you're
music.
Talking about, there's a, I'll be like, oh, these kids. I was like, yo, it's all kinds of kids making music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can name 10 acts that you would probably love that you've never heard of.
Never heard before.
Because, like, you're just at an age right now where you're disconnected from the fucking, the spigot. Like, you don't even know
what's really popping.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Because it's just, some things change, but it's still the same. Like, we still have gatekeepers. Like, people are like, oh, the da da da. But, you know, it is, like, when there's a paradigm shift, mm-hmm. like, you got to get in on the ground floor just to position yourself to be that person you hated before.
Damn, that sucks.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, boom, remember NFTs and all that? So everybody was like, there's no gatekeepers. But low key, they were positioning themselves to be the new gatekeepers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They was like rigging themselves to be influencers in a spot. So whatever, I digress. Point being, I just said, I kind of took it back to my mentality, like in New York, like being from Miami and in golden era New York, you know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as I go, or someone goes, oh, he's from Miami, yo, fuck out of here, son. Fuck out of here, boy. Fuck it. Yo, only New York niggas can rhyme, son. And I'd be like, what? And then we just go at it, you know? Like, Shadow was always with it, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, and then it's, you know, it's like that Brooklyn shit. They'll be like, yo, son of aight, you know what I mean? Or you do the show, I'll hear people in the crowd, they'll be like, Miami? What?
You hear it that loud?
Hell yeah, bro, now New York. Back
they don't give a shit, they just
bro.
Tell you.
They don't care, bro. They was like, oh. And they used to, you know, talk to Elder Sensei about how they used to get, like, just being from Jersey, you know what I'm saying?
Shit.
Yeah, so it was like, but when I was done, you know what I mean? Like, if you came from a wild place, like Miami back then was kind of wild, because people didn't come to Miami, you know what I'm saying? It was, they'd be like, oh, that's where old people go, you know? Yeah. So, like, you know, I came from Miami, me and Shadow, then I brought Shadow up there, and then, you know, Super Nat, he came from Indiana, which was like, what? Indiana, right?
Exactly. Still. Right. It's like, what?
Yeah. You know, and then M was from Detroit. Yeah. So, you know, we all got that. But it was just like, when you earn that, it was real. Like, you earned that respect. Like, you might come in the spot, like, 2 months later. Yo, you that dude from Miami?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. And I was like, and I knew, like, okay, that didn't just, people wasn't just saying that.
It stuck. Like, right. You actually did gain the respect.
Right. So I'm very, like, I'm still wired like that. So I'm just like I did a show, like, it was a younger crowd, like, before I left New York. And then, you know, and I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. You know what I mean? But, you know me, man. I got all flavors. Yeah. So I was
you still
just
get
like,
down with the young crowd?
Me? I mean, I think, but, you know, man, I think people, they just get so on their whole shit with old young people or the music. And it's like, yo, bro, music not music. For nothing. Like, I've been chilling in spots where I was like, yo, how old are you? And I'd be like, damn, I'm probably as old as your pops or some shit. Like, but these are kids raised on, like, rap has always existed.
Yeah.
That was, it was not a thing. Like, you know what I mean? When we were kids, like, you had to dig. It wasn't readily accessible.
No.
My dad didn't know who the fucking Grandmaster Flash or any of these cats were, you know what I'm saying? Like, we came from Jamaica, so it was just like.
And you had to, coming up, you had to find the circle of people.
You had to, like, tap in.
Music. You had to tap in, yeah.
And you know, we had to, like, you know, really, bro, Saturday Night Funk. But I would tape an antenna to the
wall.
Oh,
man. Like, Saturday Night Funk.
When I moved to Carroll City, like, it was even harder to get stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really like, find that magic spot, you know, and hope the breeze don't blow. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that I think, at the end of the day, man, I think something that's fucking hidden, it's just hidden. Like, I think some shit is just undeniable. Like, I could see a group and be like, well, what y'all do ain't really what I might sit down and listen to, but y'all got something. You know what I'm saying? I see that. And so I think if people really, you know, generally fuck with music, it's the, you know what I'm saying, it's all in the environment, because I'll go and I'll see some, yo, when I was performing, they was having a photo shoot.
What?
Like, they couldn't get the regular venue, so it was a bar, and it's like and
a lot of stuff going on.
No, it was just like it was a closed event. It was like a release party, for homegirl Nova and her Swag School release, and you know we were like, you know, the older guys in there, and it was like, all right. But it's all like their whole thing with the event they do is like they bring the generations together. You know what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
Which I fuck with. And so I think some of these younger people are, their parents were into music and they, you know what I mean? Like they kind of, like you will find young artists, like they might go do some fucking auto-tune, you know, mumble style, rage rap, whatever it is being called this week, but they still have their fundamentals.
That base, right?
They have their fundamentals, and like, but they just don't flex it. Like, boom! Look at this guy. What's the dude?
Which one?
Designer.
Yo,
he came back. He's total like, yo, 180. I'm rapping. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Which brings me to a question: what's on your playlist?
I don't have my playlist is my songs.
I can't even say that.
All right. Like playlist. Oh, shit. As far as rap goes, I don't really, man, like honestly, like I got like.
Can we talk about me?
Huh?
Can we talk about me?
Like, no, like I got like
work, me the me list.
I got like workout music.
Yeah.
Which like all my workouts, it's all metal and rock. Like
dope.
You know what I mean? Like punk metal, all alternative. But rap's interesting because obviously I'm gonna go to, you know, that time. You know what I mean? Like these set records I know. I would say out of some of the newer guys that I like, you ever heard of that group Coyote from LA?
They're
like the Mexicans. They got this one video with Mario from Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
They got a video with him, like, you know what I mean? Like, they, you know, like, this whole Mexican-American thing. Like, I love it. Sammy Deluxe. I also been into listening to rappers in other languages.
Mm-hmm.
Such as? Sammy Deluxe. Man, there's, what is the name of the... Some of them, I'm bad with the names, especially when it's from another country, too.
Anything you picked up on your recent tours?
Yeah, I'd have to go into the Spotify and be like, these guys.
These guys, right? These guys. This cover.
Did that, you know what I mean? I've definitely met some, Megalo. Like, I get to, as far as, like, German MCs, Megalo, you know, a lot of people... And this is what's so interesting, like, out there, you know, I'll say Sammy Deluxe. Like, Sammy Deluxe is, like, OG out there. He's got the album with Conductor Williams I did the artwork for. And, you know, you bring up Sammy Deluxe, and they'd be like, oh, Sammy Deluxe. Ah. They'd be like, ah, he's the best. Ah. You know? And then I would be like, okay. So I met Megalo on that that same little festival, those couple festival shows in. He's another one, like, you bring him up, people are like, oh, Megalo, man. Like, if you talk about rapper, nah. So they liken him to, like, a Nas, you know what I'm saying? Like, the way...
That kind of respect.
It's in German, so I don't know. You know what I mean?
You just know that they're looking... It's highly regarded.
But his stuff is very, like... I can just tell by his videos and what he's doing. you know, out there. But we got, I tell you the, so Megalo, there's another dude, Morlock Dilemma. This guy had, yo, shout out to all of these dudes. This guy had a, there's a hip hop burger spot in Berlin called Burger Amt.
Burger?
Burger Amt.
Amt?
I think Amt is like,
Burger Amt.
Like House of Burgers or like place or something like that.
I just love that it's two words. So if it's House of Burgers, it's Burger Amt.
That's but I guess House of Burgers would be Burger House, H-A-U-S. But, so he had a release listening party things. So we go, mm-hmm. but I'm like, damn, is that Burger Amt? I'm getting a free burger. I gotta get a free burger. If there's not a free burger, I'ma be tight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, okay. But, you know, if I gotta pay for the burger, all right, whatever. But a free burger would be nice. You know what I'm saying? So we get there. And so he starts playing these beats, like he's a producer and he raps, and he starts playing these beats, and I'm like, oh, he's gonna perform? I was like, all right, cool. Then he's just talking, and I was like, they gave everybody this little comic, right? And I was like, and they're like,
but what kind of comic though? Are we talking about?
Because he has these characters, so the comic is. He has a burger. He has a signature burger at Burger Amt. And the comic is the story of how his character
made a burger.
Created the burger. Yo. And he's narrating the shit. And I was just like,
so it's like spoken word.
Yes.
It's a whole
but it was in German. But like his creativity, like, and this is me saying this, like this guy's creativity is like, you know what I mean? Like, I know you, like, because we're gonna, because the capitalist in us is gonna be like, yo, how are we making money off this shit though? Like, yeah. Bro, what are you doing? Like, you're just doing a spoken word out? Like, what? Like,
I bet you we could make $10.
That's ahead. But bro, he's just feeding that shit. Like, he's like, yo, creativity, this is what I'm doing, boom, boom, boom. And he's a funny guy. He speaks just like a fucking German supervillain, man.
Even I love better.
That. He's
even
like,
better.
He's like the guy. We had
like
the
in
micro
the movies.
Feeding. Yeah, like that guy. Like if you hear him talk, I mean, I love hearing him talk. It's fucking amazing.
I mean, that could work here for Art Basel.
Yeah, bro.
But $100 a ticket.
But how sick is that? Though?
5 ounce burger.
Yo, Shadi, you gotta do that. You gotta do that. You gotta have the story of
Shadi.
You know what I'm saying?
And it keeps out. It'll be pre Popova.
You know? What does that
so
mean?
So you guys are saying a lot of, yeah. You guys have been mentioning a lot of things that we need to touch base on. Like,
well, okay.
Comics.
Well, let's take a step back though. Because we only got
half a
story.
I'm sure I didn't answer the last question.
You didn't. You gave us half an answer.
Answer. So what was the last question?
I'll give you two. Give it some time.
You asked me about the playlist. And who I came across.
All right, so just to be fair, we asked you more questions after that last question.
Lots of questions.
But you said there was a clear difference between shows here and shows overseas.
Okay, all right, boom. So I get back to that. So, you know, I'm solo. So it's like, I don't even really have a DJ. I don't have a hype man. I don't have none of that. So if I'm not doing it on stage, nothing is happening. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. Right? So when you have that kind of thing, you kind of get into a place where you're like part stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. and you know, whatever, which is fine here because you understand some of the things I'm saying. When people have English as a second or third language, they understand it in the most linear way.
They may not catch your jokes.
No, they fucking don't, bro. I would say some shit and I was like, yo, it's like 1,500 people in Heidelberg, which is like ground zero for hip hop in Germany. That's like their Bronx.
Okay.
And it all came from like a military base over there. So that's where that shit all started. But I would say shit and I'll be like, damn. And I was like, damn, I thought this was like a real hip hop time. Like I say something about Tribe and M and they just crickets. And I was like, cool, y'all don't give a fuck. Let's go. All right, let's get into the music. And then I got like a message, you know. I would get some messages from people like at shows, like they would DM me.
What were you talking about?
No. You know what it was? Because I think for some of them, it took a while to kind of sink
to get
in.
It.
And then they were like, oh my God, I hope you don't think we're stupid. Like, oh my like God. That guy, I was like,
we
nah.
Get it.
You
we
know
get
what
it,
me? Like, nah, I didn't think that at all. So with what I found, all the shows I've done in like Germany, usually, man, if you come out there with that energy, if you give that energy, you're likely to get it back. And then, but then some people be like, oh, there's also this thing where it's like, oh, well, you're from the States. And so Germans are very, like, things have to be, you know, a place for everything and everything in its place. It's kind of like
very ordered.
Give me an example.
That part in their mentality. Oh, I'll give you an, okay. I was doing getting some scratches done from this DJ, and I was just like, okay, yeah, here's some of the things I want cut up. And then he's just like, oh, but it doesn't make sense. And I was like, what? He's like, so for him, the shit either has to rhyme or the cuts have to form a sentence. And I was like, bro, you're just scratching. Like, it's just nuts. And he couldn't, like, not, like, he just, that's not compute, like.
Damn. I mean, that's kind of, it's a gift and a curse. In this case,
yes.
Kind of cursed.
I mean, so, yeah, like, some folks, they're pretty rigid, you know what I mean, with certain things. Bro, like, out there, and, like, we'll be at a crosswalk, there will be no cars. Motherfuckers just standing there waiting. And I'll be out there, I'll be like, I was like, is there some shit I should know about? I try not to do it in front of little kids, though.
But what were they waiting for?
For the sign to turn.
That is rules.
Jesus.
It makes sense, though.
Is that hardcore, huh?
Bro.
It's not like here.
Would you get in trouble if everywhere. You crossed them?
I have not seen that, but
the police force comes out.
Yeah. You get a ticket.
You get like a. I've heard you could get like a 50 or 60 euro fine.
Get that.
What?
I've only talked to one person that's actually happened to, but
Berlin, it can happen.
Berlin's kind of like New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't Japan, bro. You lose you leave your phone somewhere. That shit gone.
Facts.
In Japan, you might get it back. Out there, nah. That's just a wrap.
So over there, doing shows in Germany and Berlin, how was it?
Like, good. It was good. Like, there would be shows like, this is one venue, Panka. And it's like, okay, boom. This is the biggest thing. And this is why I come here and I cringe sometimes. Every fucking show I've done had good sound.
Okay.
Every show had good
test mic.
Every venue one, two, had three. Good one, two. Sound. That's because that's. I feel like that's like part of it. Like you must be. You know, what
good
I mean?
Sound. Yeah.
Right.
Quality.
Almost every spot I went to had something for in-ear monitors. Here, fucking forget it, bro. In-ear monitors. You know, some spots like sound here is trash.
No one really puts energy into sound down here. Right?
You know what I mean? I went back to New York and I was like, I was at this block party. I was like, ooh, well, this sounds terrible. Then I was at some other shit. And this was like a show. And I was like, And I was like, fuck, back in the States.
Damn.
Back in the States, you know what I mean?
So
yeah,
the quality of things is better out there, you would say?
The quality, yes, but it's also because of the psychology of the people. You know what I mean? Like
everything's a mentality, right?
Like to do things must be done right. Like I started looking at languages. Mm-hmm. I usually end up learning more about the grammar than actually being able to speak the language. So, like, looking at how things are done in, like different languages. I talked to some Italians and just, you know, and I always have questions about it. And I find that there's a I feel like there's a direct correlation between the way a language is used and the structure and the psychology of that culture.
Okay.
Like, Germans, overly fucking crazy descriptive. Like, really? You can have a German word that's like 30 letters long. Because what they do is they smash words together.
I'm good.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, like how we have the T and the H and we make the th sound? That doesn't exist in German.
Oh, wow.
When any instance there's a T and a H, it's a word break. Like, it's a break in pronunciation.
New word.
Like, what?
New word.
No, it's the same word, but it's just like you make that like what I thought
space
would be like Rathaus, they'd be like Rathaus. You know what I mean? Like, it's that break.
To so it's silent, the, like the two.
No, you pronounce the T and you pronounce the H.
Just not together.
Just not together. And so also when Germans are learning English, that's a sound that they have a lot of trouble with.
Interesting.
They have like, bro, I just started going down these rabbit holes with language. There's this chart of like the vowel sounds. And we, in English, we use very few. Germans have a lot. Oh, so, wow. Like the word for butter is, no, cheese is Käse, right? And I was saying, oh, you want to pick yourself some Butter Kaiser? And the dude looked at me like, I was like, he's like, what is that? I was like, I said, Butter Kaiser. And he's like,
nope, can't like, figure it out.
I said, the cheese I get for you all the time when I go to the supermarket. He's like, Käse. And they like, that's the annoying shit. I'm like, bro, you didn't
you
know.
You understood what I said.
That's what I was trying to say.
You know what I'm trying to tell you? Giving me a hard time?
But that's how they are. But to be fair, because the little difference in a syllable sound is a bigger deal for them because they have so many.
I can't front, man. Like, I hear people speak Spanish wrong and it.
It irks you a little?
A little bit.
But you don't give up, like, yo, you're trying. You don't give up.
I give them and then I try to explain it to them. I go, sandwich. It's not sand. Like, you say sandwich.
So there's no sandwich. D in Spanish?
No. Not in sandwich.
How you spell it?
Nah.
You're fired.
How about this? Simple. Flan.
Flan.
English. Flan.
But that's the thing. Like, boom. I watched somebody ordered a pollo pizza. I watched Germans go polo. I was like,
polo.
It's polo.
Polo. I was just like, see, I'm a little more, more sensitive to the Spanish words. But growing up with so many of them, I'm like, pollo. Pollo, man. Pollo.
Yeah, like polo tropical.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, whatever, man. I digress. So back to the thing is, people come out, they really come out, to get back to the question, they are there to hear music and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a priority for them to enjoy it. Like, anytime I'm asked to perform, it's like, can you do at least 30 minutes? I come here, you get 10 minutes.
If that.
Get 10, 15. What the fuck can I do in, like, 10, 15 minutes? Like, you can't.
It's my warm-up.
You can't. What I learned is, like, you can't learn your craft. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got to a point where it's like, I'm tired of just, like, let me just run through songs. I'm like, how do I craft an experience? What's the narrative? What's the story? Like, I want, like, okay, we don't have, like, arena shit. Like, how can I take what I have and still craft, like, oh, that scam show. Like, I'm still working on that. You know what I mean? Like, we go see arena shows and, you know, they have a whole roadmap. They got a whole production and this and the third. But what can you do in lieu of that?
Yeah.
So that's one of the main things I find, like, now don't get me wrong, there is this undercurrent of like, oh, you're from the birthplace of hip hop, like, you know? And I didn't really know. People were telling me, they're like, yeah, but you're also from the States. So, like, I did a hip hop conference thing and they were talking about, here's the thing. We grow up around it. we know some of these rappers are fucking full of shit.
For sure.
We know some of them are corny. You know what
Most
I mean?
Most of them.
Right.
A lot of them.
They don't get the chance to be around these people, so they can imagine the artists and the music itself to be and mean whatever to them.
Like reading a book.
You know what I mean? Right. So it's like they have their own viewpoint of hip hop. And I've come across people that are like, nah, man, the real shit's got to be like this and this. And I'll be like, man, fuck that bullshit. Like I was very capitalistic, like numb to the love that they had for it or whatever. I was like, let me be quiet. I'm not here to fucking destroy anybody's
image of it.
Yeah, like you got to love it the way you love it. You know what I'm saying? And it's just
it's a beautiful thing though to see hip hop in these different countries, bro, isn't it?
It's like I didn't really get to get up with too many of the younger artists, but like you can have an artist out there, and there's a few of them, like full gray beard, the whole shit, still packing a place out. You know what I mean? Like their fans are still they're coming out to the shows, and people are just. If it's good, like I think it's just a thing where is it good? It doesn't matter that I know you. Doesn't matter that you're popular. I did a 40-minute set. 40 minutes. These people didn't know these fucking songs,
but they jammed with you.
They was rocking. They was fucking.
That's dope.
You know what I mean?
That's really dope.
You know. Now don't get me wrong. It was good. Like it was a good set. You know. Uh-huh. But I think you also have to be good because I've seen other people come and.
Did you walk out there like the mummy or what?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about the mask.
I've been trying to get one made, bro. You want to know? I talked to one movie company. I mean, company. They both do stuff for feature, like major motion picture. One company, they in Berlin, they worked on The Matrix.
Nice.
And there was another one here in Georgia, actually, that worked on films there. Films here. Bro, it's like fucking 3 to 6 bands to get their shit made. And it's like
a rocket every show.
Yeah, but it's like it's definitely if you get into bookings, and if I'm going full tilt with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but now like I really do it homemade style. Like okay. People be like, "Yo, what is that?" I'll be like, "It's fucking bandages." The ones you put on your ankle,
the
bro.
Mommy.
They're just bandages.
Bro, you could just make the mask yourself.
Yeah.
3D
yeah.
print, you know?
3D, sweet. I don't know about all that, but
yeah.
3D print, like what, 3D print latex?
3D do people, print people print
3D print masks?
3D print the mold, and then someone does.
What, they do like fleck, like soft?
Like a bust, but of your face.
Uh-huh.
And you do it the way you want it with the bandages.
Mm-hmm.
Then once that's done and sanded down looking all nice,
yeah, like paper
you get
mache
someone to mold it.
But it has to be. It has to. It can't be hard.
Nah,
pause.
It's.
That's
what?
Just to mold it.
I mean, it's just to create the mold. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
But what
a
material
bust.
Is the mask actually going
to
be made out of?
Whatever you want.
Whatever
it to
you
be.
Want. You can make it latex. You can make it.
You can do 3D print latex.
No, you mold what you're printing is
the mold.
A bust, like you know comic busts.
Yeah.
Like figures. So you do a bust of your face, right, with the bandages. So you do a 3D file of you, of that character, on like the mask you would want, ideally.
Okay, we're going to have to get
We're going to talk about that.
We'll talk about it. But it's, I think you could pull it off.
But, and I think one of the biggest things is, like, people come out there to have a good time and listen and fuck with the music, and it's not like a ton of people that are like, I should be on stage, you know? Like, I feel like...
We got a lot of critics in the crowd down here, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just... That's the vibe I would always get. Like, I've been to shows, bro, where it's like... They'll be like, how many MCs in the house? It's like, yeah, it's more rappers than regular people, like...
It's always the same rappers, too.
You know what I'm saying? So...
Same crowd.
That's one of the things. But, I said, like, you know what? Let me stop being so judgmental. Like, let me go back to... I'm gonna make y'all motherfuckers move, like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, let me see with the strength of what I got in my arsenal. So yeah, I'm back to that. I'm, you know.
How do you feel about the culture in Miami in general?
What culture?
Answer.
Fucking what culture? What's the culture? I mean, how would you describe the culture in Miami?
I don't know, man. It's
as far as what? Like rap and hip hop?
Hip hop, yeah.
There is none. Okay, boom. There's two. There's two in South Florida. So it seems like the boom bap is all the Latin guys.
Oh my God.
And then when it's the trap dope boy shit, it's the black guys. There's some outliers. There's always people of different, you know what I mean? But that's what I found. Like, whenever I go to the little boom bap function, it's all like a bunch of candle dudes. You know what I mean? Like, am I wrong?
I can neither confirm or deny.
Yeah, whatever. So, and then, like, when I would go to the other studios and shit, and it's like they auto-tune and they trap and they whatever. And it's like, oh, it's all the black guys. I was like, so all the black guys are making the dope boy shit, and these guys are trying to save the culture. Like, what's going on?
At some point, they all got to meet at the same place.
I mean, yeah, and I think at the end of the day, like, if you genuine, like, regardless of what you, like, might make, if you just like good music, I think, you know what I mean, like, people still have that level of, like, oh, let me check this out, oh, this guy's dope. That's one of the things about, like, some of the younger cats, because they have so much things at their disposal. And then some of them, they will dare to dive into what they hear the older heads talk about. You know what I mean? Like, I love watching those reaction videos. Like, oh my younger, God, yeah, younger kids. Like, I was watching one. It was a group. They was somewhere in the South. And they were like, all right, we're going to get into this Mobb Deep. And they were like, when I hear that name, I just think of a bunch of motherfuckers in the street. And then, so they was playing, like, none of them, it was five of them, none of them had heard of Mobb Deep. And they played Shook Ones, right? They was playing the video. Yeah. Bro, when he got to that rock you in the face, stab your brain with your nose bone, they was like, It was like, And then when he was like, I'm only 19, but my mind is old, they was like, that's when they was like, he's one of us. They was like, yeah, motherfucker, we used to be 19 too. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it was cool, like, just, you know, for that level of, like, I think some of these cats, they know who can rap and who can't rap, you know what I'm saying? But the difference with them is they have a wider net, because they'd be like, yeah, when I'm checking for lyrics, I might go to this person.
Yeah.
But they like, they be like, but this is just a vibe.
Yeah.
You know, we came from a different culture. It was like, if your shit wasn't, like, good, there was no other place. There was no in between. Like, you're dope, you're not. That's it.
There was a kid I watch on YouTube. He listened to Nas, Illmatic, for the first time.
The whole album?
The whole album. Bro, this kid had to stop and be like, oh my God, what's this? He was only 17 when he wrote that. He's like, I can't believe this. Go back. And what we were doing at that age, hit him, stop, rewind, play. Like, did he just say,
rewind it
and be like, hey, you got to listen to this. Let me rewind.
Trying to figure everything out, yeah.
I remember where I was. I was staying in Carroll City, and someone gave me a tape, and it was like a dub of a dub of a dub of a dub of a dub of, like, New York State of Mind.
Nice.
Crazy hiss.
Yeah.
And it was, like, playing a little faster. Uh-huh. And I remember hearing New York State of Mind and being like, I literally threw my rhyme book in the garbage. I was like, this is fucking poetry. This is not even rap. I was like, this is insane. I was, what the fuck is this shit? I was like, what am I doing? I'm bad.
Yeah, this kid was like, is he just talking to me? Because he's not rapping. Is he for real telling me a story? I can't fucking believe this.
It was awesome. You know,
it's great to see those reaction videos.
Yeah, man. There was one of 365. I was just like, I'm not watching this. I don't know. I cringe. I was like, you know, I don't want to watch those things, bro. Like, I know people, like, if they even get, they got Google alerts set up for, like, if they get mentioned. Oh, Jesus. I was like, bro, I can't live that life. Nah, bro, I don't even want.
You don't have your alerts on?
Fuck no. Nope.
Notifications?
Nah, bro. I think Rec does that too.
What?
I think, well, I don't know if he still does it, but I think we talked about it once, and he was like, yeah. But I guess if someone's talking shit,
you want to know.
You know what I mean? But I feel like I should hire someone for that. Like, I need you to address it so I never have to see it.
You shouldn't have to deal with that, right?
I'm a sensitive artist. I'd be like, I don't want to see it. I'd be like, who's this motherfucker? I'd be like, yo, let's get this guy's fucking, what's that shit?
You'll troll back.
The ISP protocol.
Oh, the ISPs, fuck. Yeah. I got to figure out his IP. I'm going to track
IP,
this
that's it.
IP address.
Get this fucking IP address.
It's a wrap. I know where you are. I'm going to send him a picture of his crib.
Oh,
don't you ever.
Those videos are fire, again. Too. Like the hacker kind of guys that be like, oh, you was talking shit? What's up, Danny?
Real talk, though. Let's talk about you. Talk about how would you describe your style in your own words? When it comes to not just art, but your
funny.
Music.
I thought about that. I don't know, man. It's just, I'm an ATV. All-terrain vocalist. That's the best I could put it. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to keep doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
Super versatile. I like challenges, but... That's to describe my style. I don't know. I feel like that's for someone else to do, not me.
Same for your art?
Art. Same, because I do a couple different. I can do a couple different styles, but honestly, I didn't even feel like I had a style until like. I don't think you know. Some people won't notice that until like. I'm literally going through. All these files, like trying to work on a book, and when I see all my work, then I start to notice the similarities in the work, and I'm like, oh. But I'm the kind of person where I'll be like, oh, this looks kind of cartoony. Now I'm like, I want to paint some realistic shit. I want to do something different. Like if I see too much of that, then I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Switch it
I've
up.
I've solidified that. Like, let me do something. I always want to be like. For you to hear something and be like, wait, that's scam? You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm always like looking for that. Like, oh, like, not what you expected. Mm-hmm. Pulled it off, boom, boom. But I just like to challenge a different shit. But as far, yeah, I couldn't really pin it down.
So just for some context, not only are you a rapper, I mean, you're an artist.
On the weekends.
And you do graphic design. You do, yeah. You're an illustrator.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been working on that craft?
I think I kind of figured out I could draw when I was like, I don't know, 5, 6 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I just stuck with it. But like, I don't know, like, I think around high school, whatever have you, like, you know, I had to hustle. You know, single mom, like 4 kids.
Mm-hmm. You were a single mom.
Yeah, I was. Some father to all these motherfuckers style. I'm father, mother, I'm fucking ace, huh? Nah, but yeah, man, I used to airbrush at the flea market. All that shit.
At USA Flea?
No, 183rd.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Shit.
And then I airbrushed at Airbrush Avenue.
Like t-shirts and yeah. Hats and stuff?
Yeah,
your own booth and you came and...
I worked for somebody. And then I did the Airbrush Avenue in 163rd Street Mall.
Damn. That's old school.
So, yeah, I mean, bro, like...
Airbrush Avenue.
It's always been an apartment. I think, you know, coming from another country, like... When you get here, I was just like, wow, like, okay. There was no one to tell me, like, oh, you can't do this. Oh, people like you don't get to do this. But I think generationally, like, there's kind of this underlying thought.
Stigma?
Not a stigma, but it's like a condition that's happened, like, with a lot of Black Americans where they, you know, they kind of be on some own. Or not even, like, I think it's just some people, like, I don't even want to, like, put it down to just that, where they think, like, oh, you can't do something. And it's like, why? Why not? Like, who's stopping you? Try. Like, I didn't know how I was going to. I knew I wanted to be the album cover guy. There was no roadmap to this shit. But my mom was like, yo, if you're not going to be fucking going to school, you, what happened?
Sorry, we can hear your phone. Buzz.
Hear what?
Yeah, sorry. My bad. No, because her phone was buzzing. You could hear it in the mic.
Oh, I didn't hear shit. Oh. True. But, yeah, man. Like, I wanted to be that dude. I didn't know how I was going to do that. I just started coming up with shit.
And how'd you go from doing airbrushing in the Flea to doing hip-hop covers?
I mean, the airbrush, that was just, I needed a job, some sort of shit. My mom wasn't having it, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, what's something I could kind of fuck with? I was like, all right, airbrushing. But that, the other thing was like, it was comics. I either wanted to work at like Image Comics or work for George Lucas.
Nice.
Like, those are the two things, like, I was like, yo. But yeah, you know, the things didn't happen at the pace. When I got the Tribe gig, I was on my second round of submissions for Marvel.
Shut up.
Yeah, I was like 17. So I think at that time, I was like probably, I don't know if I was the youngest person that they were like even like thinking about maybe hiring.
Okay.
But I got a Tribe gig and I was just like, Tribe Called Quest? I was like,
super dope.
I was like, fuck everything. You know.
Damn, so you were in the second round of Marvel because of the Tribe gig, you just.
Yeah, I mean.
Cut it off. You said, fuck it.
I was 17, bro. Like, I didn't know how to manage my life. Like, like me now, I'd have been like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this.
Yes.
No problem. You know what I mean? But I didn't have the wherewithal to do that. I was just like, this was after Midnight Marauder. So I was just like, what? Hell yeah.
Shit.
Tribe album.
That Tribe shit is dope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you come up with that? With the style of the cover?
That was, I mean, Beats Rhymes and
Beats Rhymes of the Life,
but the character, the female.
Okay, so that character, the other two albums, Low End Theory and Midnight Marauders, that was actually a woman in a bodysuit, mm-hmm. and they painted her.
Okay.
So he didn't want to do that character anymore. And I just thought that was the wackiest shit anyone had ever said. I was like, what? What do you mean? You know, I didn't say that though. But I was just like, I thought it. I shook my head, yes, but I thought this guy's crazy. And yeah, he wanted to change all of it, but I couldn't come up with anything. So,
that's what it was.
On a call while I was telling him how I couldn't come up with anything, I sketched something and I brought it to a meeting. He was bummed. He was like, you couldn't come up with anything? I was like, nah. I showed it to him. He's like, you don't like this? I was like, oh, I like it. He's like, I like it.
Tight.
And that ended up being the album cover.
That is tough.
So he ended up keeping the striped lady.
Bro, it's like you would expect a more complicated story, but it was like, bro, I threw spaghetti against the wall and this stuck.
I literally just got done telling him I couldn't come up with nothing. I was just on the phone with him just while I was talking to him. And that's what ended up working out.
That's dope.
And in my mind, though, I was like, see, you could have had this quicker if you would have just got off of that. Just said, do what you want to do, Scam.
But you live and you learn, right?
And how did you, and it all, it, how did that spawn into the M, you got to the Eminem cover before that?
Well, that? No, that was after. Had nothing to do with it. Like, honestly, this guy, Rick Posada, he was Busta Rhyme in Old Dirty Bastards, A&R. Uh-huh. And my cousin introduced me to him. He was up at Elektra. He was roommates with Paul Rosenberg.
Okay.
So I had some trouble, legal stuff, where some people stole art. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so Paul's a lawyer. So he's like, yo, I'm going to connect you with this, da, da, da. And so I went to their crib and met Paul, and he played me some of M stuff. I mean, I knew he was white from when I like first heard it, but like, I was like, yo, because he was saying stuff like, you finna get stuck stolen snuff. I was like, where are you guys from? Like, I had never heard anybody say any of that shit outside of Miami. Like, yeah. And I was like, y'all say that out there? I was like, yo, that's crazy. And I was like, yo, because he didn't really know the underground like that. So I was like, yo, just give me some shit. I'll get it to everybody you need to get to. So me and A.O., you know, we got him Unsigned Hype and The Source. I gave his shit to Bobito. Okay. So he got played on Stretch of Bob. Gave it to Martin Moore Mayhem, Stony Brook, Baruch, like the key college radio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of helped him with that when he would be in town. Like, we kind of clicked when he'd come into town, you know, I'd take him around and shit. And so it really was just like, we were literally just sitting in the studio and they were like, yo, we want you to, yeah, we talked about it. We want you to do the artwork. Like, you know the vibe, you know the songs. And I just
did it.
I just did it. Like, came up with the mummy. I think I sketched the mummy in the studio. And but that was based off of that. If you ever see a video for this shit, I'll probably be dressed up like a mummy with my wrist slit.
Yes.
So that's where that came from. And then, you know, the pills. And I didn't know nothing about all that shit. He was talking about like Tylenol 4s and Vicodin. I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. Like, yeah, I didn't do none of that shit. And it'd be funny hanging out with those guys, like, get up in the fucking hotel, it'd fucking pop one. You know the little liquors, whatever, you just good, with a pill. And I'd be like,
see you guys later.
I was like, wait. I'd be like, did you really just do that? He'd be like, yeah. I was like, no, you didn't. Then he'll do another one. I was like, and people be like, does he really do all that shit? I'd be like, yes. Yes, he does.
Or used to.
You know. Oh, yeah, I'm glad
not
he got
anymore,
his shit straightened.
Only on the weekends.
No, you know.
I think it's for real. Like, he's got sobriety coins and everything.
Yeah, I brought up. Yo, you know, that shit's crazy. Like, everywhere you go, people are just like, when people know, like, oh, you on that shit. Like, my whole shit was like, yo, I smoke weed, whatever. But I promise you, every place I go, people are going to be like,
yes.
Here.
We'd have one rolled up for you right
here.
Now.
You know what I mean? And that's crazy too, because you never know what you're gonna get from somebody.
Facts.
But that came out of some homie shit. Like, it was just like, you know, all the people involved, like, all right. That wasn't even me. Like, that was literally, and at that time, bro, Interscope, they weren't even trying to pay me no real money. They were like, yo, we're not paying. Like, when I wanted to quote them, they were like, we're not paying for an unproven artist. And I was just like,
damn.
I was like, whatever. Like, for me, it was just like, all right, I'm going to rock with my homie. Like, whatever. All right, cool. You know what I mean? Like, I know I could get more, like, you know, on average for those kinds of jobs. But it was just like, all right, cool. Whatever have you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's some crazy shit, bro.
Yeah, like, that was, oddly enough, the biggest one I had, like, it wasn't something I hustled or, like, advocated, you know, or went hard for.
Still great to be a part of that, though, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Great project.
Your art is part of hip-hop history, though.
It is. But, you know, the funny thing about that shit is it's like, you know, like, I've been fortunate to have through a couple different generations, you know what I mean? And then, like, but it's like, you know, that there's a saying, anything that doesn't have the youth is dying.
I've heard that.
Right. So it's just like, damn. So for a certain level of people that know, they're like, yo,
it's
the guy.
It's a classic.
Right. But then, you know, a younger dude might be like,
who is this guy?
Right. They'd be like, what is that? You know? And the shit that they might think is like fire art, I'd be like,
not so much.
I'd be like, that's cool. That's cool.
Let's talk about Comic-Con and those types of conventions.
I've been going to cons since I was like a little kid.
So I ran into you in a couple cons.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's funny now, like how it's like pop culture.
Yeah.
So for me, the corporate invasion, that's the shit that it's like super corny. And like, so now like the TV and the movies and all that shit, is, you know, those guys come into the cons and they get treated with this level of like, oh, the movie star. Motherfucker, like, if we wasn't doing this shit, you wouldn't be here. Like, fuck out of here. Like, don't get me wrong. No hate or whatever. Like, yo, come correct. Like, all right, what's up? How you? But when we have a situation, and it's not the talent, it's the people around them. You know what I mean? Like, they start treating the actual creators and the lifeblood of this whole institution.
Like they ain't got nothing to do with it?
Like second-class citizens. Like, yo, they, like, I was at a con, they shitted on the dude that created Silver Surfer in the fucking green room. Damn. And every comic person was like, what? And they, like, yo.
Yeah, because they know the star. They don't know everything.
Right, they'll know the guy who plays in the movie, but they won't know, like, yo, this is the guy that created this shit. Like, people know
the 300. You should respect this guy.
Right, they know the 300, the movie. They don't know what Frank Miller looks like. I don't know what Frank Miller looks like, but...
Yeah, I don't know what Frank Miller looks like.
Either. Right, you know what I mean? And I think probably Frank might want it that way, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But generally speaking, outside of that, man, it's like... It's a flea market, man. Like, when you're at a con, bro, you're hustling, man. Like, if you're in Artist Alley, like, it's like, you know, and there's some
slanging comics and art.
Yeah, like, really, like, and I've been at some conventions where I was like, because I'm not a comic guy. Like, I'm not known for comics. So it's a tough one for me.
It's like, what are you doing here? Why are you?
I've had people roll up and be like, Scam? I didn't know you were here. You know what I mean? Oh, if I knew you were here, I'd have brought an album so you could sign it. The problem is, you know, those guys come and they like, I've had people literally pop up, get some shit signed, and bounce. Like, they didn't even buy nothing. Like, now I'm on some shit like, oh, you want something signed? Free signature with the purchase.
There you go.
You know what I mean? It's always weird when someone's like, yo, how much you charge for your signature? What?
I charge for my product.
Charge for my signature.
The merch.
Sign here.
But, bro. Bro, but some of these people, like they will just, they'll get you signed some shit straight to fucking eBay. Real shit.
Well, that happens with collectibles and all types of shit.
Yeah, bro. Like, a dude showed me, my boy Juice, he was like, I was talking about selling some shit, and he's like, yo, how much you gonna sell it for? He's like, nah, bro, I think you could get more for that. And I was like, for real? He's like, yo, sign a couple of them, take some photos and send it to me. Bro, he went straight to eBay. Bro, we made way more money than I thought. I was like, he's like, bro, your signature's worth something. I was like, yo, that's crazy to me. Like,
wow, that's dope as fuck.
You know what I mean? Like, wow, my signature's worth something.
It's a sign. You know, you've hustled all this time.
Yeah, it's not
gonna happen.
You know what I mean? But like with certain shit, that's why I'd be like, I let the money people deal with shit. I'd be like, cause me, like when you start making some shit and you find out, okay, like you make this sweater, and then you see this sweater, like you're like, yo, that shit's fire. But you know, that shit costs $30 to make. This shit, they're selling it for $200. You're like, I'll never pay $200 for this shit. And that's where I ended up.
You guys can pay $200 for that.
I'm not paying $200 for that shit. Now bless your hearts. You know what I mean?
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Shit.
But
it's like, what are those high class brands that were selling faded clothes that looked like used?
But yo, my
dirty shoes too.
Boy, my boy, he's a consummate eBayer, and he's like, yo, people want used clothes. Fucking wild. I don't want no used clothes. Fuck that. I don't want that shit. But I'm from a different generation. But anyway, but as far as the cons go, like, it's just the bigger cons. They're just insane. Like the New York Comic Con, Walmart had a fucking booth.
Jeez. Wow.
Funko Pops.
I would tell people, I'd be like, yo, Walmart's got a booth on the main floor. And they'd be like, you're so funny. Like, no, for real. They really do. Like, look, see, Walmart. And they'd be like, what the fuck? What were they selling?
Well, Walmart sells everything.
But, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, but it's Walmart. Like, what are they going to have?
I've seen designer stuff.
They had Todd McFarlane at their booth.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what was going on there because it was some shit like you had to walk in there. So I don't know, like maybe you sold your soul or some shit. I don't know what the fuck. You couldn't tell what
you haven't sold your soul.
I mean, it's on. Someone's got it on layaway. But
we're in negotiations.
And then eBay had a booth, and I was like, "What the fuck does eBay?" But then I was like, "Oh, eBay sells mad collectibles." Yeah. So I was like, "All right, I understand eBay being there, but Walmart." I was like, "What the fuck?" And then I was at one con. There was this like 90-year-old war vet, like next to me, like in the booth, right? And they had, it was some fucking energy drink. Uh-huh. And they literally had like a stage, and these kids were doing like choreographed all fucking day. Next to this 90-year-old man just blaring shit. And I was like, yo, I was so mad. I was like, why the
fuck? No consideration of placement.
We don't know if he was having a good time, though.
Well, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know.
Unless he just can't hear anything. He's like...
But it was crazy to me. Like, one, why is this here? Like, it was one of those drinks that's straight poison. You know what I mean? Like, yo, if I saw that in the little kids, I'd be like, bah! What the fuck are you doing? Don't drink that shit.
But
you
that know? Has electrolytes.
Bro, and but it was like, this is the thing. Like, they sold that space. And it's like, it's... You know, it becomes this whole thing.
Capitalism like, at its finest.
They sold the space and rented the old man.
Yeah, bro. Absolutely. And it was wild. I was like, why is this here? Like, it didn't have no correlation. And that's the space we're getting into. Like, you go to, like, San Diego, Barker, and that shit is nuts. The only day I can enjoy a big con is that first day.
Why only the first day?
Because by the time you get to fucking Saturday, I went to New York every day except Saturday. I was like, yo, I'm out. And anybody who works those cons completely, they understand. They completely understand. They be like, yeah, don't come Saturday, bro. They got to be there. They're making money. Cool. But everybody I know that goes there, like, they make money. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to try and see if I can get in. But, like, some of these, like, it's a long waiting list to try to get in. To those things, and just the way my schedule is now, like, I don't even know if I'll be in the country to do it. Like, Artist Alley in San Diego is free, but it was like a 5-year wait list.
Jesus.
We need to get a scam energy drink going.
Hell yeah.
It's not poison.
Let's go. I'll call that shit. I'll have that. Yo, what's that? The Angry Cat? I'll have Angry Cat on it. They'll be like, fucking scam energy. Straight shit face.
Let's talk about your upcoming and current projects. I know you have something coming up.
Oh, God. With who? Who?
Well, you've had some collabos. You've dropped your own music. You've had your own music videos. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, who you got? What project you got coming up? A local artist.
Money Mo.
Yeah.
Money Mo Lee. Yo, Mo's so mad at me right now. He's like, bro, this shit taking 2 years, dog. I was like, Mo, I started at the end of last year. Bro, shit's taking 3 years, dog. Mo's like, fucking, release. I'm like,
yo, is that not for nothing? But a lot of Miami cats have been consistently dropping snakes.
And Mo's been working
overtime.
Over 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that project is called
4 years, son.
4 years.
Yeah. 4 more years.
You know? Shout out to Mo. Thanks for your patience. Yeah, I was like, his brain is on a different time thing than mine. But I think the working title we got right now is called Bullet Box. So we're trying to finish that up. So, you know, keep Mo be mad.
Stay tuned. In other words, stay tuned.
No, but it's done. It's done. Like all the recording is done. Strux heard it.
That shit is dope.
Yeah,
it's dope. I like a lot.
You like it a lot.
I like it.
Yeah, but you know the funny thing, like, so how I connected with Mo was like, because he was born in Germany. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And someone told me he was born in Germany, and I was like, really? And then I just called him up one day, and we just was talking about Germany and shit. And he was like, I guess he doesn't have too many people to talk to about that kind
Wolfgang.
Of shit. You know. And that's kind of how we connected.
Like, he has an incredible story. Now, I want to get him on the podcast. He's got a great story from, you know, getting from Germany to Miami.
Oh, yeah, his story's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
I was like, you're a wild boy.
Also, let's skip ahead a little bit. Tomorrow is Crazy Hood Day. You're going to perform.
I will perform.
What ties you to Crazy Hood? Because I think about Crazy Hood, and you're definitely one of those people who's not always there, but you're always there.
Man, I don't even know how I met E, but I don't know. Back then, like, he put me up. I guess he's the archivalist, so, like, he kind of knew who I was. And he put me on, like, a mixtape or two. And then I remember when he worked on, he asked me to do the first album, right? Mm-hmm. The Who's Crazy album. I did that. And actually, the guy that colored that is the guy that helped me out with some of the stuff for Slim Shady LP.
Dope.
And then just over the years, like, I created that character, Norm. Right, yeah. So over the years, like, it's just, you know, I would expand on the Norm character, you know, in a couple mixtapes. And then when he was working on that, I think I brought Dead Prez through, through when he had the shop.
Okay, yeah.
And they did something.
Crazy Goods.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
Crazy Goods.
I think I might have brought them through, but they were on one of his mixtapes. And then when he was working on what was his album called again? Another Time.
Yeah.
He's working on Another Time. He'd be like, yo, here, do something on these two beats. And I did a hook for, like, the one with Keith Murray, Joel Ortiz, and Chris Rivers. And I did another one. It was a track with, like, Mother Superior, Society, Garcia, Heckler. But just over the years, man, like, I don't know. But he was just always in the middle of whatever the fuck was going on, you know what I'm saying? And it's one of those things where it was like, you don't even really, like, I'm like kind of a loner, you know what I'm saying? So it was just
but
like,
he would just throw you in the mix.
But they would always show me love, you know what I'm saying? And then it was actually like during pandemic, like they were the first group of people I had seen in months.
Jeez, bro.
And they were like, bro, they were so, they, it was like walking in the chairs. It was like, scam! And I was like,
me?
You know what I mean? So it's just like one of those things where it's just like, oh, like, we've known each other how long? I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So yeah, so I'm a fairly, like, yeah, like kind of like second generation CHP and whatever have you.
So you're like the adopted child.
Yeah, kind of. Because I always be like, yo, bro. Like, I would want to talk shit and be like, y'all ain't got no black people, but then I took it.
So this is E's adopted child, everybody.
But then Scam is the adopted child.
There's Drain.
T-J-E-F-N.
There's a couple other black cats that I'm like, all right, cool. I'm not alone. It's fine. That's good. But it was like, you know, they're the Kendall, the whole Kendall shit.
Yeah.
So they, when they get together, they start talking about all this shit. I don't know who the fuck or what the fuck they're talking about, but they got so much history.
Facts.
You know what I mean? But I just kind of like...
It's 32 years now?
Yeah. Okay.
But what does it mean to you to be able to be on stage and be celebrating alongside not just your friends, but people who are our colleagues and just people that, you know, have definitely put Miami on the map for us down here?
I don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
So
talk to me after.
You're probably expecting the American reaction.
I don't know. You know what it is, bro? Because it's just like everybody's got their different level of what they're doing. Like, E's someone that's like ground floor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There are a lot of people that came after and like might have dipped in, dipped out, didn't like really stay the course for whatever the reason is. You know what I mean? So I kind of look at those people as like non-combatants in a way.
You know what I mean? You do not exist.
You know what I mean? And not even to say that, it was just like, it's like, you know,
when you are not here.
You know, your parents have a friend that, like, at some point you saw that friend for like a couple times, and you just started getting used to him, and then you never saw that friend again.
Yeah.
And then you see that same friend years later. Hey, you remember me? Do I? I don't know. You know what I mean? But then also, like, I'm not around, and then, you know, like,
so at, you're the friend sometimes.
At some point, but you know what it is? Like, I was always repping. You know what I mean? Like everybody knows I'm from Miami. Like, I get on records with everybody. I was always talking about Miami. I was always talking about Dade County, 305. You know what I mean? So there would be some people, like, they would come up, you know, be like, they would show me that love. Like, yo, like, you represented, like, Florida, like, in a time where nobody did. And, you know, I didn't even think
when
about
it. Wasn't cool.
Like, yeah, I didn't even think about it like that. You know
it
what I mean?
It just wasn't too cool to rap.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, sometimes when people bring up certain artists, and I'll be like, some of them might be, like, they didn't grow up here. So I don't really look at them as, like, oh, you're a Miami person. I'll be like, yeah, you lived here. You know what I'm saying?
You're not really from here. Miami.
I don't know, but, you know, that's I'm a dickhead. I don't fucking know. You know what I'm saying? Like, but who's to say? Like, in New York right now, you got all these people running around. Like, you lived in Brooklyn for, like, you fucking lived in Bushwick for 2 years. I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah.
So
I walked through the Bronx. I'm from the Bronx.
So, like, but like, if you say something to me, like, you know, like, he's talking about Coupe de Ville.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's, I was like, OG, you know what I mean? Like, talking about certain people.
Shout out Coupe.
But then there's also, like, groups that I've heard of them, but I didn't really listen to them. Like, Last Straws, I definitely know who they are. Don't really know the music, you know what I mean? But I know who they are.
Got it.
Like everyone knows who Last Straws is. But yeah, like, I wasn't super tapped in with some of the groups back then. But once again, this guy's like disappeared. Like, I don't know what happened. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, Momsy, like, she was the one. She was the first one got the deal. I guess whatever, she disappeared. And that story goes on and on and on. So to me, in a way, they kind of became like footnotes. But it's like, okay.
Yeah, but you guys are out here, you know?
Right.
You guys,
like,
are still rocking.
He has never fucking relented, bro. Like, he does not know how to not be that. You know what I mean? Like,
facts.
This guy loves music, like fucking Sammy Deluxe in Germany, like,
oh,
bro, these guys, they breathe that shit, man. Sometimes I feel like, oh, you guys love rap more than I do, like,
shit,
you know what I'm saying? So
it's in the rap.
And also, growing up here, this is like fucking Haterville, like, bro, I don't know, like, mother would be like, scam, whatever, bro. Like, I would go other places and people would be like, scam.
Sign here.
Yeah, and I would kind of be like, well, and people are like, yo, why are you so humble? Why you? I'm like, because nobody gives a fuck in Miami.
Nobody cares.
Nobody, bro. Like, nobody does that shit in Miami. So I did not understand my own shit. Like, you know, when I'm out in Europe, I'm like, I have to go through the whole, let me introduce myself. And people are like, I know who you are. I have your record. Like, oh, shit. All right.
I like it. I'm not going to complain. I kinda
right,
like
yeah. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, like, I'm fucking antisocial. I'm like, it's very disassociative in my perspective on
so
the hip hop community.
I think you're saying is that Miami fucked up your you stardom here.
I'm not gonna say with star. No, you can't have stardom here. Like, this is not that place.
Yeah, no, Miami's.
Yeah, we're not. Like, yo, even now, like, I go see people, I might love their work. You know how hard it is for me to say, can I get a photo with you? Like,
damn.
You know what I'm saying? And then part of me be like, man, I should have got a photo. Nah.
Well, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised tomorrow for Crazy Hood's event and for your performance, because I think the crowd here is definitely going to be a lot more friendly and more receiving than another
this,
place.
This I'm interested in seeing. Like,
come on, crazy.
This is not like, yeah.
We're talking about Lincoln's Beard Brewery. It's in the heart of Kendall, basically, yeah. Where a lot of these old school Kendall cats
reach. Shout out to Shoddy. Bro. I think Shoddy, like, fucking put the fucking defibrillator to fucking
He got in the mix of that battle, yeah.
Like, all these people was just like, boom, boom, boom. But that Shoddy, that's another one. Like, bro, that guy is like...
Did you know I'm the president of his fan club?
I did not. Where's your coin?
We'll talk.
Yeah, shout out to Shoddy. Yeah,
shout out Shoddy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it would be a very new experience. Because also back then, there was a clear distinction between the guys that were trying to get record deals.
Yeah, there was.
And the guys that was just like, we on that rap shit.
We're on that underground thing.
And it was very much the whole, y'all on that New York shit.
You or know? You're commercial, or you're this.
Right, and it was like, because, yo.
You found a way to hate.
Remember Icons?
Yeah.
Right, like...
get fucked up.
Me and Shadow's first songs were with them, like Gorilla Tech and Track. Like, they made our first couple of joints. Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Who knew?
No, well, yeah, interesting. You know what I mean? But, like, not a lot of people know, you know, once you step out of the Southeast Corridor, it's fewer and fewer people that know that. But, yeah, like, it was a lot of that. It was a lot of people that were doing some stuff, and then... They kind of just disappeared. So, my output, and like I make music. But as far as releasing, I'm not the best with that. There's always some shenanigans. But definitely, moving forward this year, you know, what I mean, like I've been trying to fucking streamline that process.
So we know you rap a little bit.
No,
a little rap.
But you produce, I hear. Is that true?
I produce in the traditional Quincy Jones sense of it. Well, okay, and rap is the only genre where someone says a producer and what they really mean is a beat maker.
I was about to say, like, spit a beat.
You know what I mean? Like,
do the beatbox.
Make a beat.
Kid.
Make a beat.
But, like, I'll get stuff from people and I'll be like, okay. Like, let's say, for example, like, let's say with Bullet Box, like, Mo just. He just does shit, and he'll send me. It's very rare I get just the beat. Most of what I got from him already
it's
had
done. Ready
already
to go.
Had a verse on it, yeah. and some had hooks, and then so it becomes a like okay,
adapting. Right,
what is this I have in front of me? How do I make this into to take it beyond just us just rapping on this like. Like, when I start thinking about choruses, I think of, like, oh, how does this feel to the audience? How would this feel at a show? What is the overarching message we're trying to do with this? Sonically, what's missing from this? Like, sometimes it gets down to, like, oh, this needs, like, this kind of melody or it's something in this frequency range, this, that, and the third. Like, as far as, like, what I produce, like, I produce my rock shit. Snooter to Tooter, most of those are just me. But with rap, like, I'll produce in a way where it's just, like, sometimes I work with beat makers, and I'm like, okay, we kind of need this on this. Okay, let me do the arrangement, this, that, and the third. So in that sense, yeah, for sure. Like, I always had that. I could see something and be like, I remember when Shoddy was working on Stigmatic, and I listened to three songs. I was like, yo, you got anything up-tempo? And he was like, oh, I do. And I was like, man.
That's what we need.
So, yeah, so you went out and did. But, like, yeah, like, I look at projects like, okay.
What's missing?
Yeah, I'm kind of like this. Like, but that's my personal thing. Some people, they just vibe it out. They just do whatever they want to do. And every artist, you know, obviously, you're totally.
Different process.
Yeah, totally different process. What like, how I do ain't necessarily for other people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a little more calculated with certain things. And some people like to just kind of. Free ball. Free ball it out. So yeah, like, you know, it's also like same thing with art, man. Sometimes I'll have an image and I have to sit there and be like, why is this not working? What could take this to a certain place? You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's just all like innate, natural shit. But over time, like, I was like, okay, oh, this is what I'm doing. All right, got it. But I don't really call myself a producer in that way.
You orchestrate.
But that's what a producer does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a Quincy might come in and be like, more cowbell. Like, I've heard some of the whole things, like him and Michael Jackson going back and forth. And I could definitely be like, Quincy made the right call. Quincy made the right call on that.
Yeah. I mean, shit. There's a hearing Michael Jackson come out and go, I want a beat that does this. And then he puts in a tape that he recorded the sounds to beat it. He did it to beat it. Mm-hmm. Incredible. That was a rare talent. He came into the studio, goes, I made this tape. All I did was record the rhythms. Almost identical to beat it.
Right, and then
I
you
might
know,
be wrong with the song too, but whatever song it was almost identical.
And he'll be like, you know, he'll know how to make that happen. Like, oh, like, you know, I think is like the best hip hop producer.
Who?
Shout out to Michael Garcia, who showed me the error of my ways. But like we had this whole thing about Premier versus RZA.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, Premier, easy. And then he started breaking down RZA's discography. So think about it like this. How many classic albums came out of Wu-Tang?
A lot.
A few, right? All of those, RZA. They're all different. They don't all sound the same. They all like...
Yeah, it's all a different vibe.
Cuban Links is it. Like, who the fuck could have turned Old Dirty Bastard's tapestry of drunken insanity into cohesive chaos? Like, and so, then if you go down it, like, you hear all these other beats, then you're like, what, RZA did that? RZA did that? So we were talking about Premier. RZA knew how to pick artists. Like, he, you know what I mean? Like, cherry-picked the right guys. Like, that's, you know. Premier was like,
just one.
He could make anybody sound good. Because there are a couple artists that, like, people probably don't listen to if they're not on the Premier beats. You know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
You know? And I don't, you know. Premier has a, pretty much kind of has, like, a sound. Like, man, like, I think when he did that Christina Aguilera joint, we was like, oh, shit. What? Fire. But just the versatility and the cherry picking of the artists and just shit like that. Like, okay, yeah, man, it's pretty crazy. Like,
that's something to think about, man. Because I don't know the whole discography to be able to agree. Because I'm one of those that would have chosen Premier first.
Mm-hmm. I've been like, man.
But damn, that Old Dirty point makes a lot of sense.
Listen, man, I listen to that album now, and I'm like, yo, I couldn't make this if I tried. Like, no fucking, but this shit is crazy. I love it. It's amazing. This is fucking chaos, bro. It's just fucking chaos.
Pretty much is. The first album.
Yeah. Where he's like, remember we used to do this? And we were all at home like, oh shit. Yeah, like we did do that.
Bro, that was a dope album. And then he did Gravediggers, which is totally different.
And yeah, and you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Him and Prince Paul is like, he's...
I love Prince Paul.
Prince Paul is a, you know what I mean? Amazing.
Oh yeah.
These are the guys that, like, they really craft that shit. So it's a difference between, like, somebody just making a beat. Oh, this beat is fire. But then, like, we're crafting this little planet for you to live on for 40, 50 minutes. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole different wheelhouse.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and I definitely want to get to that place. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll sit around and fucking try to do sound design to make a skit sound like more realistic, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll get into the weeds on some shit, and I don't think a lot of people want to do that.
But it's a lot of detail.
Yeah,
it's a lot of detail, and you're trying to craft that story, that theme.
Yeah, I think that's a German part of me. It must be like this.
What more can we expect from Scam in the near future? Scam
actually putting out music.
Scam 3, 4, and 5.
Scam 3 and collabo with Mo in about 3-4 years.
That album coming soon.
Nah.
10 years, man.
That's why I'm here, man. Like, that has to be done and put to bed before I leave here.
Yo, not for nothing, but that album is dope.
I'm really proud of that.
It's really dope album.
That project, you know what I mean? Like, me and Mo, we kind of like, ah. But I was just like, I didn't want to spare. I don't like bullshit, man. I don't want to write bullshit. So it's like for that project, I really was like, this is me. Like, if you ask me about my style, I think if you know me, and if you've had conversations with me, like, I think you can listen to what I write and have a profound appreciation for the honesty and maybe the vulnerability of some of it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, these are human experiences. You know what I mean? Like, I'm definitely not in the I'm a cool guy place. I'm not in that place. I'm like, this is the shit I'm feeling and I'm going through right now. And I think at the end of the day, if you have somebody that comes up to you and is like, yo, this helped me get through some shit, that's one of the best things, you know what I'm saying, when somebody tells me some shit like that, because I needed music for that when I was younger, you know what I'm saying? Like, if some, you know, and I've been fortunate where I've gotten to meet some of the people, artists and groups that their music did that, and I say I'm lucky, not because I met them, because I met them and I didn't hate them after meeting them.
Oh, that's great.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, so, yeah, that's, it's just me. It's in the meta. You guys know Tony Galvin? You know Tony Galvin, right? Mm-hmm. You know Tony?
It's really funny.
He produced Trick Daddy Shut Up.
Yes.
Amazing, like, hip-hop producer. Like, he do the other stuff. But, like, yo, yeah, he passed a couple years ago.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, so I was working on, he has a project with Elder Sensei and doing a song. And it's like a reminiscent sort of song. And I was just like, yo, I said, Tony, man, I don't do that shit. I don't write reminiscent records. He's like, cool. We'll just write about how you don't write reminiscent records. And I was like, what kind of stupid shit is that, Tony?
That's hard though.
And then I started writing, and that's exactly what happened. I was writing about, you know, I was like, I ain't really big into reminiscing, but recall the premonitions of my elders. They would try to tell us, but we wouldn't listen. And next thing I know, boom, I was fucking reminiscing. And I was like, oh, you fucking Jedi mind tricked me. And that's just been like kind of where I'm at. Like, because, like, yeah, like, sometimes we start a new record. What's my starting point? What am I talking about? And that shit could be about a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, like, there is no starting point. Just let it be.
Well, no, I mean, but the starting point comes from the continuous motion of just the experiences
just
I'm dealing with. So usually a lot of things are snapshots of that moment. Like, I might not even be able to tell you what the fuck I did yesterday. But there's some rhymes I could be like, oh, I was walking by the Bronx Zoo when I wrote that. Or, you know what I mean?
It's powerful.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird. It's pretty uncanny that way. So I think that's like a lot of where, you know, people used to tell me when I was younger, like, oh, you know, you don't really express yourself. So I think now, like, it's just, anybody that knows me listens to it and goes, oh, yeah, that's you.
You do express yourself.
You are so expressive.
Now I am. Now I am. I had to get, like, Emma and Shadow used to say that to me. They used to be like, you know, Emma's like, yo, you just like me. You just don't really put yourself in your music. And I was like, eventually I got to that place. So,
shit.
Anything else you want to touch base on that we maybe haven't discussed yet?
No.
You are George.
We all have to go get pizza. We all have to get pizza. That's about it. No, nah, I think we got
some Mexican left.
We touched on most of it, man. I think, you know, when the next thing is out, then I'll be back and we'll talk about that.
Yes.
Are there any shout outs that you want to give now that you're live and on the air?
I've shouted everybody out during this shit.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like,
shout out Germany.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I've talked about everybody in this, man. Facts. Yo, shout out to anybody listening that made it through this long. We appreciate you. Shout out to Dre. Shout out to Struck. And yeah, that's it.
Well, shit, man. So I guess, yo, Scam, thanks for coming out, man.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Shit. By the time this comes out, you've already performed at Crazy Hood.
Okay,
man.
Yeah.
So let's see.
How was it?
Honestly, I talk all my shit, but I do think it's going to be fun tomorrow. I think I'm going to have a good time. Like,
I think you will, man.
Huh?
I think you will.
I
think the people are going to love you. They're going to be cheering in the crowd.
She's such a...
They're going to have spirit fingers.
I'm on that shit, man. I'm like, you gonna fucking love me, bro.
Yes.
You gonna love me, baby, or you gonna love me.
One way or another.
One way or another.
Yo, so...
Scam2? Thank you so much for joining us.
The two is silent.
305 Radio, a Miami podcast.
You know, I gotta give a shout out to Good Tone Studios. We're here in the space, we're recording, got the whole setup here, so it's a great collaboration. Yeah, man. I think that's it.
That's it. We out.
Yep. Deuces.